Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast, presented to you by our friends at Justice Dental, the best dentists in town, in the world, in fact. And they're right here in Lexington. Two convenient locations, one on Wellington, one on Blazer. I need my teeth cleaned. You need your teeth cleaned. We all need our teeth cleaned. More importantly, it's your one-stop shop for all your dentist needs. You don't got to go to a bunch of different places, whether you need a root canal, cavity filled, whatever it may be. Just give Justice a dental call. Visit them online, justicedental.com, or give them a call at 859-543-0700 to hang out with Doc Thompson or Dr. Justice today. Tonight we are with Freddie Maggard and Adam Luckett. No Drew Franklin. We can confirm he is alive, hanging on by a thread. He was doing quite a bit of celebrating in New York City. Freddie was watching the game back in Central Kentucky. Luckett and I have made it back from Gainesville, and I'm going to have I Won't Back Down stuck in my head from now until, I don't know, Christmas time probably, and I'm not mad about it one bit.
Little Tom Petty never hurt anybody, Nick Roush.
We're a little off. Luckett and I we both made the drive there. He drove through the night. There wasn't a lot of sleeping in Gainesville. Because we were busy enjoying. It wasn't like we were out burning down the town. We were just blogging our fingers away because it was an historic win. Kentucky's first win, back-to-back wins down there since 76, 77. Three wins in 5 years. Freddie, Jordan Wright's beaten Florida more than he's lost to him. What a time to be alive.
It's amazing. You know, I thought it was very fitting that Mark Stoops got his 61st or the most wins of any coach at Kentucky with a victory in Gainesville. You know, for so long, for decades, a win at the Swamp seemed impossible. It was not even a realistic goal, to be honest with you. And to get the win down there was great. I enjoyed the game. You know, really, to be honest with you, I mean, you guys were there and had a better view than me, but I felt like Kentucky was at least a two-touchdown better team than Florida. And you know, we can talk all we want about the game, but the simplistic explanation that I have is the better program with a better team with a better player has won the football game. Simple as that.
I'm with you, Freddie. It was the point, too, where, like, Kentucky played, I don't want to say poorly, but it was an average game. It was a very average performance offensively, and the Cats still had really no trouble. And like you said, they left some points on that scoreboard, Luckett. Like they could have easily turned this and ran away with this halfway through the third quarter and made this a 3-touchdown game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was some when Kedron Smith got the interception, pick six. I think there was definitely a thought: just don't lose the game on offense. Let's run the ball here. Let's ground this out because they're not scoring if they have to go 70-plus yards on Kentucky's defense. I think overall it was just a masterclass by Mark Stoops, Brad White, and that entire defense. I think that last year we didn't get to see really Jordan Wright and J.J. Weaver at full strength together. No. And we saw it on Saturday, what that those two guys can be as versatile pieces in the front that can do a lot of different things, and we're just a pain in the rear for Florida to deal with. I think you saw a Kentucky team that had Florida scouted inside and out, knew Billy Napier's tendencies, were ready for almost everything. I just think it was for Brad White and Stoops, I just think it was a masterclass. Like, they were just ready for anything that Florida was going to throw at them with Anthony Richardson, and they totally had him confused on multiple different levels. And Nick, we talked about it during the game. Anytime on those short boots, he was scared to death to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a little 3-yard dump pass, absolutely terrified to throw the ball. And you just felt like that interception was coming when Smith, and they finally got one there. And then after that, it just felt like for Kentucky, it was all about just not, you know, making Florida earn it and making sure they didn't give any cheap ones. And so for me, it was all about the offense kind of figured some stuff out with the run game in the second half, but overall defense was the story. I mean, they just totally dominated the football game.
Well, and to your point about the – I learned this today. I guess I missed this during the interview, but they knew so – like the tendencies were so buttoned up that they knew, Freddie, whenever they were – Florida was going to go tempo, Keaton Smith knew they were throwing that hitch. He was sitting on it and just waiting for him to throw it. He knew the tendencies better than the other receiver did because the other receiver was running a go route. I mean, they knew Billy Napier's offense better than his own players did.
Yeah, that defense is just so well coached. I've been a huge fan of Brad White for quite some time and remain to be so. I just think he's tremendous. His plan, the players executed his plan to perfection. I know a lot of people are talking about the linebackers who played extremely well inside and out, but that defensive front kept the offensive linemen off of them. They were eating up blockers. Deion Walker, the big tackle for loss there. I thought the defensive line was the most improved unit on the field on Saturday. But as much as we want to modernize Kentucky football, and we've hired Leon Cohen, we've hired Rich Cangarello, and all this, we're going to do this, that, and the other. When a game's on the line in the second half, Kentucky went back to being Kentucky and did that very well and closed out the game. Controlled the clock, ran the football, played explosive defense, shut down the opposing quarterback, and win a game on a field goal on a special teams play. Even though special teams was terrible. But, I mean, as much as we want to say this is the new era and all that, Stoops was Stoops in his 61st victory in the Swamp.
Well, and he won the game management battle, I mean, against Napier. He just won it. When it came down the fourth quarter, Stoops made the right decisions. Napier didn't. Unfortunate that they missed that field goal. Rough roll, but barely missed that. But overall, I think he just won in crunch time. I think he made the right decisions where Napier probably has one or two or three that he regrets. And again,
was a bad idea to go for it on fourth down on your own 37-yard line while you're down one score.
Yeah, I think
can't believe that.
And I can maybe understand the second one when your time's getting low right there, but the first one did not make Kentucky much sense. Especially with the way that Jeremy Crawshaw was punting the football.
Like you could pin him back. You can flip the field if you get a stop. I mean, he must have had a little faith in his defense, but that was that first one was mind-boggling. They went after Carrington Valentine, which Carrington, he gets crapped on by some in the Big Blue Nation, right? Like, especially after last year, that Tennessee game, there was a lot of people throwing darts at Carrington Valentine. Florida thought they could throw darts at him. They threw it his way 8 times. He had more pass breakups than they had receptions when they threw it his way. He had 3 pass breakups to 2 receptions surrendered. An outstanding game from Carrington. I mean, that was the corners. I mean, they both were outstanding. Freddie, it's an all-time defensive effort. And as you said earlier when talking about the offense, it really was a Mark Stoops-type football game, man. Mark Stoops got a little bit of bulletin board material that Roman Harper put on a tee, and they took on the personality of their head coach, and they were going to take that crap from nobody.
Well, one thing is Kentucky tackled extremely well defensively, which means that they were in the right place, right time. That's a veteran defense. You have veterans at the linebacker position in particular, and Ty Asian was a fantastic situational stopper. But that whole defense tackled well. A lot of times you saw Florida get 2 or 3 yard gains. It could easily have been a 5 yard gain if it, you know, inefficient tackling. But the Cats got them to the ground. I think the tone was set for me on the first quarterback draw when Jacquez Jones met Richardson in the hole and said, "No, you're going straight down right here." I think that was a critical play for the psyche of that Kentucky defense. And they kept somebody on Richardson. And here's where we are with Kentucky football. Outside linebacker Jordan Wright is as good of an athlete as Anthony Richardson. Because when he extended the play, kept containment, and ran him to the sideline and got him down, that was an elite-level athletic play from a 6'4", 6'5", outside linebacker.
Yeah, there was three whoa plays, I think, for Anthony Richardson. Like, whoa, bad for him. The draw early. It was like, where the hell did that guy come from?
Right.
Breaking Weaver gets the inside pressure. He breaks contained. Wright has him spied, and he can't get the corner on Jordan Wright. And then the third one was, of course, Wright's interception. I think those three plays, I think combined, just really put him in a spot where he was seeing ghosts.
Yeah,
I think defense, like, out there, he was playing against eight. It felt like to him he was playing against 18 defenders.
You know, Adam, I'm looking at his eyes during the game. It's very familiar to the eyes that I have on multiple occasions. I mean, it's not defeated, but it's like, man, I can't figure this out. I mean,
well, because he's used to getting away with all that. Like,
he was running over
dudes from Utah. He's never had linebackers that can keep up with him. This is just he didn't know. I still remember it very clearly, like when Jason Hatcher got to Kentucky, and he didn't have great technique because he's always been able to out-athlete everybody. It happens to a lot of kids where they were the best at their high school, and they've just out-athleted everybody their entire lives. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you run into – you have a moment where you can't just be the best athlete in the field. He looks like Tarzan, but Kentucky made him play like Jane Saturday night.
Well, I mean, you know, I think there was a realization that I can't out-athlete these guys. I mean, one, they're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And two, they can run me down. I mean, Brad White's game plan was just a piece of work, a piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, you know, take that in the Missouri second half are two of the better defensive outings that I've ever seen in person. But then, you know, we've got to talk about the offensive line, you know, six quarters of bad. And then, I tend to lean towards the field a little bit more here. The go to the locker room, that same locker room with John Schlarman was presented the game ball and he held it up. You know, they come out of that locker room and then, you know, through some personnel, heavy tight ends, fullbacks, and Kentucky making the mindset of we're going to get downhill running and did so. I thought the offensive line looked a lot better, a lot more comfortable in the second half. And that's how Smoke had his four carries of 10 plus yards.
Yeah, 107 rushing, non-sack rushing yards on 22 carries after halftime. Just under 5 yards per attempt there. And obviously, Kavasse Smoke, like Freddie just said, led the way. I thought Smoke made some really big runs. He had one down there towards the goal line, I believe, on the field goal drive where it was totally stuffed. He gave a jump cut to the outside. Gets down there, gives them a second and manageable, I believe. That was really big. Nick, we've talked a lot about with Smoke. Like, he's not going to be the efficiency machine like Chris Rodriguez is, but he can provide chunk plays. He provided that to the offense in the second half, and I thought that was huge. Lavelle Wright had some good and bad moments, but overall, I think you just saw the offensive line start to grow with confidence as that game went on. And it wasn't just in the run game. I thought protection-wise, they were a lot better in the second half. They were picking up most of the same stunt calls that Florida was running in the first half. Just the communication was working better. Everybody seemed more comfortable. And moving forward, that's the real – to me, that's what I'll be watching closely. How much did they grow in that moment? Because it felt like watching it that was like that group took a huge step forward.
Now, the one thing, too, that we were all discussing going into this game, it felt like it was coming to fruition early on, right? Because you had – the busted quarterback draw, you gave up a bad early sack, and you had Levis get his helmet popped off after they had a really good drive going there. And the worries actually went away pretty quickly, and especially at left tackle, right? We had all this conversation about left tackle. Can Corsi play left tackle? You remember in the Citrus Bowl, like the first play or two, he gave up a pressure. Well, Corsi ended up being the highest graded of all of the offensive linemen out there. According to PFF, he kept the pocket clean from his side.
Yeah.
Did a great job, really stepped up in the first game in his home state. Or I shouldn't say first game in his home state, but the first game against his home state school down in the swamp, brought his A game. And we knew that Kentucky would help out their guys some. And it wasn't a lot of it was having effective play action pass with the tight ends. I think there was five catches among the tight ends. And Keaton Upshaw got a little bit of confidence back too. So getting those guys involved early, I think, was huge. And they even Coach Rich Scangarello admitted after the game, like, kind of wanted to go back there a little bit more, but that offense was cooking. They were cooking with gas, moving the ball on the ground. And I think just showing that confidence in the offensive line really is going to build some momentum as we work our way toward that Ole Miss game where Kentucky will get Chris Rodriguez back. Yes, that happened today. We finally found out me and the Cats are getting Chris Rodriguez back. And Freddie, for me, even though I think we all saw this coming about a mile away, it's just good to go ahead and get that out of there, and we can kind of move past it, right? Like, you know, like, you got that date circled in your calendar. You got through the toughest task yet, and now number 24 is coming back with a vengeance in an important road game.
Yeah, because throughout the whole series of events, we've heard the whole season, we've heard 8 games, 4 games, one we didn't know. But now there's an end date to this, and we know that Kentucky will get Chris Rodriguez Jr. back for the Ole Miss game. You know, we're in game two, you know, getting ready to play game 3 of 12. So there's a lot of season to be played. How good this Kentucky team is, we'll see. But it cannot be going – well, you can't say perfect because you lost Jalen Geiger, but it's going about as perfect a plan as you can ask for.
And we don't have – an exact update yet. Like, there's no official prognosis, but
it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think everybody's pretty much preparing for, to play without him, for, you know, maybe as long as the rest of the season, but, not ideal, at all. But like, it in the spring, we were talking a lot about the guy behind him,
right?
And the North Harden kid, Jordan Lovett, he came in and as Stoops has said oftentimes about his team, Jordan Lovett did not flinch whatsoever.
Yeah, I think the one run they popped, the 40-yard run with Montrell Johnson, they may have gotten away with a hold there against DeAndre Square. And Carrington Valentine kind of takes a bad angle, misses a tackle that probably shouldn't be made around the 12-yard mark. If you watch that play, Jordan Lovett shows some of that speed, like that long speed he has. There's tape of him coming down in the hole, taking on offensive linemen, making tackles. He just got a lot of range and a lot of potential from an athleticism standpoint on top of good size. Like, you can see – you saw in the Florida game why the coaches were really excited about him in the spring, I thought. Now it's just he's got to do it over a large sample size and consistently do it. And communication, I think, is going to be big for him. But it's good that he's playing next to a super senior. But he came in, and surprisingly to me, they didn't really miss a beat. With Geiger out, I thought. I mean, he fit in like a glove. I think the secondary in general was awesome, and he was a big part of that for most of the game. So he adds some athleticism, I think, to that back end, which could be interesting to have, especially as, you know, a run-filling safety or blitzer that they might use with him. And so he's got some real athletic traits on a 6'2", 200-plus-pound frame. And he's shown playmaking through his prep career at North Harden, tied the country in interceptions as a junior in his first season ever playing defensive back. So I think the ceiling's really high with him, and he really, really flashed. And I think Kentucky's roster building really shows up here in the secondary, specifically at safety. They've lost Vito Tisdale and Jalen Geiger. Like, at spring football, that was two starters that are not playing, aren't going to play a snap the rest of the season, it's looking like. But still, you feel like Kentucky's in good shape. You get Tyrell Agin back for a super senior season. Love, it's been a nice developmental story. You add Zion Childress. You have him back there. You still have Taj Dotson, who played on Saturday, specifically special teams. So you still got, I think, four guys you feel solid about. So I think Kentucky, you got to give them real credit. They did a really good job building that secondary in the offseason, and that depth being tested, but I still think they're in a solid shape here. Losing Geiger does hurt, but there is something intriguing, I think, about having Lovett in there, because I think he could bring a certain level of playmaking.
He really can. And Yeah, I'm just glad you alluded to the roster building. Like, Freddie, as much as next man up is the thing you say, that's easier said than done, right? Like, actually going out and doing it is difficult. But Kentucky's got guys. I mean, we saw guys in that two deep. I know the starters really played well. But, you know, Walker was rotating in, and he had that big monstrous play. A lot of different bodies playing. And then going back to the offense, right? Like, Chauncey Magwood. We were talking about a lot of guys in this preseason. And Chauncey Magwood has been one of the best surprises, I think, so far of the young season, Freddie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I liked him come out of high school, played three positions for a state championship caliber team in Georgia. Liked his diversity in his game, and he's playing well. I mean, competition will do that for you, though, Nick. I mean, there's a lot of dudes trying to get snaps at receiver, so you either get better or you get left behind. But I rewatched the game again for the third time, and I noticed something like with 8:25 or something to go in the fourth quarter, I look out, Kentucky's got twos in the front seven, their second team, and Jordan Lovett behind them and did not miss a beat. I mean, it was got a critical stops. And this is the deepest I think I've seen this front seven at Kentucky and probably since I've been doing this. And they just, you know, when you can rotate fresh bodies up front, the linebackers get the credit, but I really thought that defensive line got a good push and kept the blockers off those linebackers so they can make plays.
Yeah, Nick, that class of 2021 starting to show out here. You mentioned Chauncey Magwood, Jagger Burton starting. Khalil Saunders, I think, has played as good as anyone along that front through two games. We just mentioned Magwood. There's just some guys. There's Lavelle Wright has played. Trevin Wallace, I thought, played well against Florida.
He got about a dozen snaps in.
Jordan Dingle has flashed a little bit as a pass catcher early. That group is looking like a good one, and that those players are starting to make an impact, and that's good to see. So we know how good everybody's wanting to talk about this, or how much everybody's wanting to talk about the 2022 class. But that 2021 class has gotten contributors. And Chauncey Magwood, back to him, he made some big catches in that second half. The deflection, and then Levis hits him on a 3rd and 10 to get 14, 15 yards to extend the drive.
Huge conversion.
He was quietly had a very big impact on the game.
That tip drill, it ain't easy either. You know, I mean, you see it happen all the time defensively where – you're just so close, but no cigar. And, you know, I know some people that they get that feeling as well when they got a little action on the game. And one way you can get some action on the game is by playing with Prize Picks this fall. Football, it's all the way back. And there isn't a much better way to enjoy watching your favorite teams than by playing daily fantasy with our friends at Prize Picks. It's the simplest form of real money. Daily fantasy just pits you against the numbers, you know, and it's fun because you can play the numbers, whether it's Monday Night Football with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call, which is kind of weird, or whether you're playing college football and with Will Levis, as you see on the screen right now. The Prize Picks, they're being kind. They're even throwing out like, oh, Derrick Henry, he only needs to get one touchdown, right? Like, you feel pretty good about that. You pick a few players. You go more or less, right? And if yours hits, you win big. Win big by playing Prize Picks today. Download the app. If you deposit $100, you can get an instant $100 bonus. That's right. They'll use the promo code KSR. They'll double your deposit up to $100 when you're playing with Prize Picks, whether it's NFL, college, a little bit of everything in between. Just do not, whatever you do, do not involve a Gus Malzahn coach team in any of your Prize Picks play. Whatever you do, Gus will torpedo it into the ground because there was no easier lock in the history of locks than Louisville losing Friday night, and Gus found a way to do it. Freddie, Scott Satterfield is 2-9 in his 11 games as an underdog in the only two wins are against UCF and Gus Malzahn. Something about Gus, like, no wonder Auburn got rid of that guy. He needs to go back to high school coaching in Arkansas. What a freaking joke.
Yeah, he does. That was
what a stupid football game.
Yeah, that was a stupid football game. I read somewhere today that Nebraska's locked in on a young ACC coach. So could it be Satterfield to Nebraska?
Offensive coordinator, maybe.
Oh man, you know what? There's something about. I will say thanks to Louisville, because if you keep winning, like I Scott Satterfield is the closest thing to Scott Frost we got around here. So, I mean, if he keeps on hanging around, like, fine by me, right? Yeah. Fine by me.
You mentioned keep winning, like building momentum. Like, that's why another reason why this week two win at Florida is just so huge.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it's just the ultimate table setter for this season.
Yeah. And Adam, it's a table setter for now, but down the road too.
Mm-hmm.
You can't underestimate what that win at Florida will do for Jagger Burton, a redshirt freshman that won down there, for Deion Walker, who had the tackle. Those young players, to get to experience that not only helps this year, but it helps down the line in our development. They go to Florida and expect to win. They've never lost there. So, I mean, it does a lot for that. And, you know, we've really not gotten into the Levis versus Richardson discussion. I still keep in contact with a lot of folks in the league, and Will Levis helped his draft stock on Saturday night. The throw to Key was something, you know, Adam, you study it more than anybody. They want to see that deep ball, that deep, accurate ball. Levis threw the ball, 62 yards in the air, and he just flicked his wrist. You know, I mean, he could have thrown it 82 yards in the air. So I thought Will represented himself well. I thought for the whole week that he was going to have a Heisman moment for Kentucky to win, but I didn't foresee the second half of Kentucky going back to old Kentucky and just dominating the line scrimmage.
They didn't have to ask him to win the game. Like, that was probably the biggest surprise of the whole thing. It's not that he couldn't do it. They just didn't need him to do it.
Yeah.
And so that was the biggest revelation. I think for Levis as a prospect, I think how he handled getting hit, coming back, not losing his cool, talking up his linemen, just keeping everybody engaged and ready. And the moment never looked too big for him. He was ready for that moment. He had throws he wants back. He had some ball placement he probably wants back. But overall, he showed that he was in control and was steady Eddie back there. And I think that's exactly what – looking back, that's exactly what Kentucky needed to win that game, because when the boat was rocking, he was the one that they leaned on there. And he made the big throw to Key, and he kept them alive. Even the one turnover, I don't know how much you can really put on him. I mean, that was just kind of a fluke play. It bounced right to the Florida guy.
Got his head grabbed in the middle of it, too, and they just completely missed that call.
But he hit on explosive completions, averaged over 8 yards per attempt. I just think it was a really good game from the quarterback. And then Kentucky just – it was very much an NFL game in that limited possessions. You only had so many snaps. You felt like your defense had a big advantage, so you were leaning into that. Kentucky was very much willing to play the field position game and to run the ball. And even though they weren't running it super effectively, they were efficient enough there at the end where it really put Florida in a bad spot. And that's what Kentucky has been built on. That's what they won games on in the past. And Stoops went to Old Faithful, and it worked on Saturday. And so I think it was – looking back, it was honestly best of both worlds, because you got a good game from Levis. You got some real stuff to build upon. But there's also room for improvement, but you also found something hopefully in the running game, and hopefully that can translate and you can keep building here these next 2 weeks before you have to go down to the Grove.
Football is a game of attrition, and the Florida defensive front seven wore down. And they were worn down because there's lack of depth there, which I'm not feeling sorry for them. And the offensive line just started leaning on them, and they got tired. But football, you know, football's a lot like a prize fight, man. I mean, it's a game. It's a fight of attrition. If you can still stand there in the 10th or 15th round throwing punches, you're going to win. And that's what Kentucky did. They kept taking the line of scrimmage across and pushing Florida around, got them tired on that defensive front seven. And that's how, that's one of the reasons that personnel groups and just the want to are the reasons why Kentucky ran the football so well in the second half.
Yeah, I like the point you mentioned earlier too, Freddie. I'm going way back, but getting this early season momentum too, like,
yeah,
this makes, I mean, on the call-in show, it's basically a Mark Stoops party, right? I mean, he's going to have 100 or so family members coming into town for the Youngstown State game. He's got Kirk Herbstreit calling in, Josh Allen calling in to congratulate him. Like, this gets to be a fun week now, and I know, you know, when we talk about this game on 11 personnel later on in the week, like it, like Youngstown State has some chops. They're a top 25 FCS team. So, you know, you have to go out and execute. But this is a good opportunity to work on yourself and for the fans to just get excited about what they're seeing on the football field. Because, you know, every football Frank out there, there's nothing you could do against Youngstown or Northern Illinois to prove that you fixed something, especially on that offensive line. Like that second half, it really was the perfect way to end it. Even though we didn't get a 350-yard game from Levis, it was more important to show that you could move some bodies in the line of scrimmage, that you could play tough, that you could shove it right up Roman Harper's you-know-what. And it, because that's what this team, they're still tough SOBs. They've still got some stuff to figure out offensively. But you know what? The defense is buying them time. And, Freddie, I think that's – it was really important for the offense to show the defense that too. Because there have been some games out there where it looked like Chicago Bears or my Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, the Steelers, they almost lost in spite of a defense that forced five turnovers yesterday. Lucky, what the hell's wrong with you, dude? What, you have been defending – your team was in the Super Bowl last year and you're turning over five times and you come on.
What happens when your quarterback doesn't play all preseason and – long snapper tears up his arm.
Man, the Steelers are going to be so bad, though. They almost lost.
Felt like I was watching Iowa. I felt like I was watching Kirk Ferentz in Iowa. Like you could have, I could have closed my eyes and felt like I was watching a Big Ten game.
Did you see what Iowa has more punts with 16 than points at 14?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Nick, back to your point, I will tell you this: knowing Mark like I do, this week will be the hardest week of practice this team has this season.
The rat poison, right? Kentucky, like Florida, dealt with the rat poison last week. Now Kentucky's dealing with it.
This will be the most physical, humbling, in your face. Listen, we're 2-0, but you didn't play well against Miami, and you should have beaten Florida by 30, and you didn't. This is why. But I seriously think this is going to be the hardest week of practice that Kentucky will have all year.
Oh man, well I don't want to be a fly on that wall, but. I am excited though for Mark Stoops, winningest coach in Kentucky football history. And after he got that big win, he showed a video that they had been working on it. They revealed to some folks at the Lexington kickoff lunch, but it had highlights of every single victory from Mark Stoops' time at Kentucky. And here's my question to you guys: when Mark Stoops gets win 100, and they update this video, what are the play and or plays? What's the big one that we're going to remember this win by? I know all these wins over Florida are starting to run together. They don't stick out as much because there's so many of them, and it happens all the time. But what's the play that's going to stick out to you, Freddie?
The Jacquez Jones tackle on Richardson on the quarterback draw. I mean, that to me said you may be being mentioned right now with every great that's ever played the game after one game, but not tonight. Not tonight. You're not going to do that to us tonight. So the Jacquez Jones tackle to me is how I would see the highlight of this game.
Yeah, I think when they're showing the package, it's going to be that the pick six, then Kedron Smith cutting back, and you've got that picture that Dr. Mike took, which is a great picture of just
it is.
Smith cutting inside, Richardson laid out. And that was the game. It encapsulated the game to me. Kentucky just in full control, and then Anthony Richardson just really his mind in a pretzel. I think that was this game to me. Kentucky was just – they were all in on Florida, I think, in the offseason. I think they were so ready for that game from a coaching standpoint, from a scheme standpoint.
Yeah.
You really have to tip your hat to Mark Stoops, Brad White. And we talked about if they got – you know, it's a long season and there's a lot of goals they want to accomplish. But to get to their number one, to get to that Georgia game with a chance to play for a title, Florida wasn't a must win, but it was pretty close to one. And they got it early. In college football, like, the momentum is so big early in the year because it can just carry over. Because Kentucky can go out there and put a couple wins together, and they go to Ole Miss with a lot of momentum. And then they can return home for a two-game homestand with a lot of momentum. And it just, you know, you can just stack things together. This was the first big block in the stack you're building. And to do it like they did it, I think there's a lot to take from the game. And it's really promising, I think, for the team moving forward.
It's funny because you all both mentioned plays that I would not have included. I thought the Dane Key catch, which was just one of the most impressive contested catches of the Mark Stoops era. And then the Jordan Wright interception. I mean, like, Jordan Wright is just a hilarious dude, too. Like, after the game, he was like, I was just trying to knock it down, and I looked down, and I squeezed, and I caught it. Right. that guy is hilarious. He's really good at the game of football, too. And you mentioned this right off the top. I completely underestimated, too, Wright's impact on the game because he was hurt so much last year. He couldn't be who he is. And I don't know what that means at the next level for him, but that guy is a freaking stud. Like, he's just a great athlete. And to really open up things, what Brad White can do defensively, the amount of looks that he was given pre-snap, like, it reminded me of Tennessee when they got in those wide splits and Kentucky's like, what the hell is this? They were – Anthony Richardson had never seen stuff like that before.
Yeah, we talked about Wright, but J.J. Weaver was, to me, just as good in that ball game. White was moving him around. They were bringing him on twist up the middle. He was just around Richardson a lot and got a handful of QB hits. Like, I thought he – in a bunch of run stuffs, I thought he was awesome in that game. And just those two chess pieces – I thought were a big part of Kentucky's success, those two players. And then, obviously, Square Jones were awesome inside a linebacker. The defensive line was excellent, and I thought the secondary played connected and together the entire game and made plays when the time came to make plays. And we talked about lack of ball production last year, but they got it this game. Carrington Valentine made some competitive plays. Keedron Smith missed some tackles, but he made some plays on the ball, and then I thought the safeties were both really good. And plus Guy Year, when the limited snaps he played, I thought he was good as well. So just an outstanding, I think, team performance from that defense.
Last week I was – I mean, you know how we all do 1,000 shows, podcasts, or whatever. And somebody asked me who would I rather have in this game, Chris Rodriguez or Jordan Wright, and I picked Jordan Wright all day long. I mean, nothing against – the great Chris Rodriguez, but, you know, one of our keys to the game was maintain and contain, right? You contain that edge, contain the flat, and Wright and Weaver did a fantastic job with that. And you didn't see Richardson get the edge. You saw they got the edge a couple times, but you didn't see Richardson get the edge, and that's big. Yeah. I don't think he's going to have very many more games this season that he rushes for 4 yards.
Right. I'm with you, Freddie. And I remember our boss saying, too, like, you know, I think the defense is going to be good, but I don't know what pros are out there. And here's the thing. This defense is so gnarly. These guys are going to play their way into being pros. Like, that's how it works.
A lot of scouts there last night or Saturday at GMs, too.
A lot of scouts. A lot of talent out there on the Kentucky football field. And we appreciate all y'all for listening, too. This has been fun. It's been an exhausting week, but we love it. We live for this. And we do get to kind of enjoy this win. Mark Stoops ain't going to be whooping our ass on the practice field. So we can kind of relish in it, roll around in it a little bit more.
You want to go to Pikeville with me Friday?
You know what, Freddie? I think you got that. I think you got it taken care of. You got this. But that should be a great game between Pikeville and Belfry.
Both of them are defending state champions. For me, that's a 2.5-3 hour drive down, do the game, return trip at 8 o'clock pregame show Saturday morning. So, yeah, it's gonna be a rough, rough few days.
Freddie, if you need to tag me, and you can, but it is gonna be fun watching the Penguins come up here from Youngstown State. You know, the whole family is gonna be there. Mark Stoops said he doesn't know if Mitch is ready for all this Youngstown intake. So I quickly power rank your Youngstown people, like it. Just your Youngstown, Kentucky guys.
Oh, that's
Stoops.
Okay, Mark, Mark, Bob, Vince.
Oh, Bob.
Maurice Clarett, Bo Pelini,
Lynn Bowden.
Lynn Bowden, Jordan Jones, Frank Bufano.
Oh, people forget about Jordan Jones. Courtney Love.
Courtney Love.
Yeah.
Who else is from? Luke Fulton.
Yeah. We're missing some Youngstown, aren't we, Freddie?
Yeah, I'm going to go Mark, Vince, Courtney Love.
Here we go. Big three. Big three. But it is going to be a special weekend at the University of Kentucky. Noon kickoff. I believe this is SEC Network.
Yes.
We'll be getting you cranked up for it all week long, enjoying more of the Florida game. Hope we enjoyed y'all enjoyed this podcast. Drew will be back with his voice, hopefully, with a little he celebrated it, left it all back in.
Did he lose it? Did he lose it on the Kentucky game or the Titans crumble in the fourth quarter?
Oh, man, that was a bad crumble, too. That was a bad crumble. I'd be all crumpled up as well after that. But, hey, my team didn't lose this week, Luckett, so I wouldn't know. Right. All right? Two dubs.
One of mine did. Jacksonville went down. So.
Yeah, they blew that one, too. Freaking Carson Wentz.
That was good. One of many crazy endings on NFL Sunday. That was a nutty 1 o'clock window.
But it was a nutty football weekend, and it makes it's more enjoyable to watch and enjoy like A&M folding like a blanket, you know? I mean,
what a bunch of losers. Way too much. I enjoyed that. Man, you know what? They had the 7-3-2-1, whatever recruiting class in the last 4 years. I wouldn't even want to guess what the return on investment in NIL is per
year. Oh, and on their coaching staff, too.
And their coaching staff, and they lose the Appalachian State. I could not love that more. I mean, I enjoyed that way, way too much. I don't know why. And I like A&M, but I just really enjoyed that.
It was so crazy that it was 1 a.m. before I realized that Nebraska lost to Georgia Southern. I turned on the Roush. I was like, I thought it was close. What was that final score? And he was like, Georgia Southern won. I said, Nebraska lost again?
You act so surprised, Luckett. It's Scott Frost.
Lost another close game.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, whoever's betting on Mark Stoops to take that Nebraska job, Vegas is just laughing at you and taking your money. Don't be an idiot. Like, he wouldn't touch that job with a 100-foot pole. Not even a 10-foot poles are too close for Mark Stoops to that job. So it's silly. Don't even think about it. It's silly. It's dumb. It's stupid. Stoops is Kentucky's head football coach. He's the winningest Kentucky football head coach. He's going to be for a long time. We appreciate y'all hanging out with us tonight. We got to get out of here a little bit early, but big shout out to our friends at Justice Dental and Prize Picks. Use the promo code KSR to double your initial deposit. For Adam Luckett, Freddie Maggard, I'm Nick Roush. We'll see you next week on the KSR Football Podcast.